Welcome to the Corporate Counsel Business Journal's daily podcast, In-House Warrior, with host Richard Levick, chairman of Levick, a global crisis and litigation communications firm.
Good day and welcome to In-House Warrior, the daily podcast of the Corporate Counsel Business Journal. I'm Richard Levick, and with me today is Christine Keller, who's a principal with the Groom Law Group. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. And if we could get the rights, I would be playing Simon and Garfunkel right now because we want to talk about culture. And I keep thinking about Simon and Garfunkel back 50 years ago when they talked about the boy ain't got no culture, but your firm does. Right. And you've had a journey. Why don't you talk about the firm first, and then we can talk about how you've started to figure out this culture thing.
Sure, happy to. So our firm is, we've got one location, we're in Washington, D.C. We were formed in 1974 when ERISA was enacted, and we are a group of about 85 attorneys plus 65 staff, and the attorneys are all specialists in retirement, health, and employee benefits. We have a wonderful set of clients that consists of large companies that are providing benefits to their own employees, as well as financial institutions that are offering products to both those employers and on the individual market. And then the same on the health side. We have health insurers working with the plan sponsors, as well as offering coverage in other individual markets. And I've been there since 2001. So I'm coming up on 20 years with this group of very talented and very friendly people.
Christine, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
So why was it important for you to focus on culture? I mean, I know a lot of firms talk about it, but it's really something that's difficult to get right.
Sure. Yeah, no, what happened was when our firm was formed, it was really formed by a group of friends. And they sort of, like any group of friends, shared common interests, common values. They've worked in a similar way. And as we grew, and we have grown a lot even since the 20 years I've been there, it started to occur to us that we were going to have to work to try and keep alive that energy, friendship, enthusiasm for the practice when those folks that started the firm eventually started to transition out. And so we had spent a lot of time thinking about our outward strategy and, you know, what are our goals, you know, for new clients and new business. But we hadn't really spent that same amount of attention and devoted that same amount of energy to figuring out our internal culture. And so just like we manage every other part of our business, we thought, you know, it really is time for us to try and pay some attention to culture and how do we help our culture to support our outward goals. And there's a funny saying when you start reading about this that says culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I think what that means is you could have the best strategy in the world, but if your internal team isn't kind of aligned with that and isn't working together, you may as well just not spend your time working on outward strategy.
And is this something that you thought that the firm could take on its own, or didn't you ask for outside help, some outside eyes to come on in?
Yeah, originally we weren't quite sure what we were getting into. We set it as a goal, and I'm a member of our executive committee. And so we started reading about it and learning about it and learning the definition of culture and what is it. We formed a committee of 12 people because it did occur to us that it wasn't something that we could just announce, here's our culture. We actually had to get some grassroots effort. And the committee quickly decided that we were a little bit in over our head, that we actually did need professional help, and that we could probably benefit from someone who has done this a number of times and understands what works, what doesn't work, and could be most efficient. So we had an RFP process, and we chose to work with a gentleman named Jerry Riskin from Edge Consulting, and he actually had his own law firm in Canada for a number of years that he ran. So he was really well-versed with kind of the challenges we would face and what we needed to focus on. And so that's when our journey began, which was about 4 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I've had the honor of working with Jerry many times over the years. And for those who don't know him, really, truly one of the industry's mensches, one of the industry's great and kind people. And as you say, extraordinary experience both running a law firm but being a consultant for many decades now. So culture is something like traffic, right? We're always in traffic. We're not a part of it. We never see ourselves as part of the cause of the challenge of the traffic. And the same thing is true with culture. We all have an impact on it. So what are some of the first things that you did, both before you brought in Jerry and then realizing that you need to bring in outside help and once you start to get on the path?
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, a group of lawyers, and we weren't all lawyers on the committee. We invited staff, we invited everyone from every department of our firm, but especially the lawyers wanted a definition, and they wanted to understand what is it we're doing, what is culture. And so there are lots of different definitions out there. The one I think that resonated with most of us is that culture is what culture is how people get the work done when no one is watching. It's what they do to get things done. You might have a set of procedures, but really if the answer is you call so-and-so because they know how it gets done and here's the time frame and this is what the client wants, that's sort of the underlying culture that is actually kind of difficult to even get a fulsome understanding of when you're first starting out. You all probably have an assumption of what the culture is, but especially in starting to work with Jerry, he pretty much insisted we had to do a very comprehensive survey of everybody within our firm because he was concerned, and I think rightfully so, that we could be making some assumptions about what our culture was, and those assumptions could have been incorrect. So we spent a fair amount of time and effort surveying everyone within our firm. We had 100% participation and then analyzed those results. And some of it was what we thought it would be, and we didn't start this process because we thought we had a toxic culture or problematic culture. And that was validated by our survey that, you know, generally we trust each other and we're a pretty happy group. But there were a few surprises and that helped us understand what we need to focus on. One of the surprises, one of the questions had to do with, you know, you had to rate on 1 through 5. Does everybody understand what is expected of them to succeed in this organization? And that was kind of funny because the answer was broken up by demographics. And so everybody who was 60 and over said they gave it the highest rating. Yes, everyone completely understands what's required, but then everybody under 60 had a much lower score and they weren't quite as sure they understood what was required. So I think, you know, starting with the survey really was helpful to us.
You know, it's sort of like cooking, right? I mean, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about that pre-show, not that, and I think we both admitted that we would rather do a show on cooking than law firm culture. But that is that if, you know, when you come into a new experience versus someone who's been doing it forever, there are so many things that are intuitive that require instruction otherwise. So how did you help convey both the need to do that, but also institutionalize the ability to better instruct, better lead, help people become more intuitive through learning?
Yeah, so, well, what we wound up doing is we chose some goals and we said, you know, here is what we want to focus on. And then our committee of 12 got back together and we actually identified 6 firm values and then some behaviors associated with those values. And this whole process has been an educational one with Jerry's help. We actually have periodically updated the firm, and our committee of 12 wasn't instructed to, you know, sit in a room all, you know, all by ourselves and not talk to anyone. Just to the contrary, we asked everyone, please go out. We want the whole firm to know that we're doing this. We want this to be out in the open, and we want people to be really excited and invested in this process and understand that what we're trying to do is take our current culture and make it even better. And so I think the education goes kind of throughout. And then the challenge is once you, you know, kind of identify what your values are and even, you know, what behaviors kind of go with those values, it's still all just words. And Jerry had a nice saying that said, now we have to get the words from the walls into the halls. So you'll do all these fancy, our marketing person was very involved in, you know, doing fancy paints on the wall that says what our values are. And we can order a lot of fun marketing gifts. But then you know, that is the challenge, is how do you actually get people to really, in their day-to-day interactions with others, you know, start to actually change their behavior a little bit, or if they're doing things that make sense, recognize that those are what we want, and we want them to continue to do that, maybe even do it even more.
So how do you, so two questions here. One, how is it after the culture high, if you will? You know, you have Jerry in, you have this collaborative process, people feel really good, but then here you are several years into the process. Has it maintained that sense of buoyancy?
Well, this year was a challenge in that we were really just scheduled to launch. In fact, I think we had our huge, you know, launch on March 13th, and we probably shouldn't even have been, in retrospect, gathered together on the day, but we had food. We had done a series of videos involving everybody who was in the committee. We kind of had this big kickoff, you know, and vision. And so we started trying to do that. But then, as you know, the whole world shut down. And so we really had to pivot right at the point that we were getting ready to, as I said, take it from the walls into the halls and get everybody to do this. One idea we had along the way, which actually translated quite well virtually, is we decided we would try to catch people doing the right thing. So we created these tokens and we started a contest. And for each of our values, which are excellence, communication, respect, trust, accountability, and innovation, we decided for 3 months that would be the value. Every committee in the firm would kind of focus on it in their different meetings. And then when you saw your colleague exhibiting one of these behaviors that kind of implements this value, then you could give them a token. So they were designed originally to be little cardboard pieces, which went in a bank in everyone's office. And we switched to online. So now we have a survey that people fill out every Monday morning. I send an email. We did it for communication, and now we're on respect. And what it says is, you know, here is the behaviors we're looking for. We might have a little education about that in the email. But then if you've seen your colleagues doing one of these things, please fill out the survey. Everyone has 3 virtual tokens, and you're going to get a prize at the end. And so people have been very, excited about the opportunity to call out their colleagues who are being, like, for communication, one of the behaviors is we are friendly and welcoming. And so we had a lot of examples of people who are exhibiting consistent behavior that is friendly and welcoming. And then each Monday, I would publicize not who said the nice thing, but who actually received the accolade for exhibiting behavior. And our hope is that over time, reading these, everybody will think, oh, here's a leader in this. Maybe I should try to emulate, or, you know, I do those things, but maybe no one is noticing. So they try a little bit harder.
So you talked about a collaborative process. So this is staff and the principals of the firm. How have staff responded?
Staff have been, I think, very excited on several levels. One, I think they've appreciated being asked what they think, being given the opportunity to provide input, and also to be able to help influence, you know, a place that they, many of them have been there much longer than the attorneys. So they have seen a lot of different, phases of the firm. And I think we've had a great deal of excitement that they understand for the first time we're actually trying to actively manage it and either keep what we thought was good or improve what we thought needed to be improved. So we've seen a high level of receptiveness and enthusiasm on the part of the staff. The attorneys who are involved in the effort were also really engaged. And then I think from there, it starts to go out. Some people, I think, are still a little bit of the outliers. And so we're having to try and bring them into the fold. Everybody is so busy. But I think having a consistent, you know, 3 months focusing on a value, talking about it every single Monday morning, they're going to get an email from me. And then I think with our contest and a couple other things we've been doing, eventually we're gonna kind of bring everybody along.
And you got to the next question to some degree, but what do you do with people who are slower to adopt to the cultural norms of the organization? How do you encourage them to not be the caboose?
Yeah, that I think is one of the most challenging parts of trying to implement a culture initiative. So you're gonna have probably 2/3 of your people that are super excited. And then, you know, the rest are either going along with it, or in a couple of cases, they're saying, why are we still doing this? Why are we still spending time on this? And I think one thing that is helpful is it's our very top leadership, our chairman of our firm, John Breifogel, and our executive principal, Mike Prame. This initiative is very important to them, and they talk about it every chance they get. And so I think it's helpful that it's not just a side committee that is trying to convince the upper level of management that's important. It really is coming from management saying this is important and we want everyone to be involved. But sometimes you're going to have people that just aren't sold. They think it's a little bit touchy-feely. They don't know why we're still doing it. And so what we recently did is we all evaluate each other at the end of the year in a law firm, and some of that ties into compensation. And we've added a question to the compensation report that says, what have you done to, you know, help promote these values? Please let us know. And, you know, what have you seen other people do? So I think by tying it into the compensation, by always talking about it, eventually I'm optimistic that it will just become part of the fabric of what we do. And people won't think it's odd or unusual that we're spending time on it, just as though they expect us to go out and think about external strategy. I think over time it will become hopefully the type of thing that they're going to expect that the management and the leaders are also spending time on internally.
So here's one tough question before we get to the easy question to close. So, you know, unlike the LSAT, I'm letting you know ahead of time that here's the difficult question. And that is, what about, you know, you talked about culture as being what you do while no one is watching. And what do you do about people who've gotten very good at manipulating culture? That is, they kiss up and kick down, or they use the right words, but you know, it's very challenging to be able to pull them out, that they're in some ways trying to manipulate the process. And I know you're fairly new and I don't to this cultural shift, and I don't know if you had a chance to explore that, but sometimes not everyone's rowing in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is a very good point. And I think the only thing you can do is really stick with what you have announced you're going to do. So if you've said communication is a priority and we're friendly and welcoming, and we listen and we get feedback from people, and then there's someone who is not doing that and we become aware that they're not doing that, you have to call them on it. You have to confront them. You have to stop the behavior. And we actually have also adopted within our firm this app called the Stop It app. And while we want everyone to be open and feel like they can come to us and let us know if they have an issue with the firm, we also did some studying and realized that sometimes people just aren't going to feel comfortable. And so we have an opportunity if people want to comment anonymously on behaviors that aren't helpful and that aren't aligned with what we've announced, that we do have this app, and that it goes to our HR person and the management committee, and we review it. And really, we have to have a conversation about it. If someone is actually not doing what it is we've said is so important to us, we have to address it. We cannot ignore it, or we have actually then wasted a lot of everybody's time, because that's actually not our value. It's not our priority. And that, so I think that is a constant thing. And that's something that we'll never be finished with. We won't be able to tie it up with a bow and say, we're done with culture, and, you know, we can set it and forget it. It is something that as new management comes on board, they have to really, I think, be aligned with the whole effort and be willing to enforce what we have said is our culture.
I'm so glad we could make one kitchen metaphor, and then you could quote Ron Popeil to set it and forget it. So in closing, what are some of the things you would recommend to other law firms? This is an ongoing and consistent challenge.
Well, I think I mentioned in the beginning, before we formed our committee, that, you know, it was maybe tempting to just have this process be very quick. And since I mentioned the chairman and the executive principal were aligned and they sort of felt like they knew what they wanted our culture to be, there was a little bit of, I think in the beginning, a temptation to just announce the culture. And the more we read about it, the more we spoke to different consultants, including Jerry, we realized that's not going to work. People aren't going to be dictated to, and it is a much more nuanced and time intensive and subtle process to be able to, as we said, figure out what culture you're dealing with now, and then identify, you know, what it is you want to tweak or work on. So I would say my advice would be, you know, don't rush the process. If you're going to do one of these initiatives, understand it's probably a 5-year lift between figuring out what it is, getting the right people engaged, getting buy-off, announcing it, educating people about it. And then after the 5 years, it's not going to be over. You have to have a process that you're continuing on. And if you have some naysayers, I would say my other piece of advice is don't let them dilute the effort. There's going to be people that maybe won't go along with it, but kind of try and work on bringing them into the fold rather than listening to the constructive criticism, which is probably going to take the form of, you know, isn't this too touchy-feely? Aren't we done with this? Shouldn't we be focusing on other business initiatives? This is a business initiative. And I think over time, hopefully everybody will recognize that.
In-House Warrior is sponsored by Corporate Counsel Business Journal, the leading resource for corporate legal executives for over 25 years. Go to ccbjournal.com to receive your free issue today and to listen to more episodes of In-House Warrior. Christine, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great chatting with you.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
This is Richard Levick for In-House Warrior, the daily podcast of the Corporate Counsel Business Journal. I've been speaking with Christine Keller, principal with the Groom Law Firm. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Corporate Counsel Business Journal's daily podcast, In-House Warrior, with host Richard Levick. If you've enjoyed listening to our show, please rate and subscribe to the In-House Warrior on your favorite podcast platform.